It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
Today. In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God, like on Azusa Street?
He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes it is, and it's coming now, it's coming now.
Hey, thank you very much, and welcome to the broadcast today here on BPN Radio. Good to have you listening in. Dale Gentry here on a Tuesday on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Good to have you listening in, praying with me today. We're praying together, believing God for another spiritual awakening in America, a revival in 1,000 cities, and we are praying for 1,000 prayer centers with 1,000 prayer leaders. If you'd like to be a prayer leader, have a prayer center in your city, it may be a private prayer center, or it could be a public prayer center. If it's a private prayer center, we'll list it as such. If it's a public prayer center, then we will give the name. And so our only hope in this nation is prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. Last week at the National Prayer Breakfast, I know that some of my friends were in attendance, and our president, he kind of dropped a bombshell by some of the statements that he made. And on today's broadcast, I'm going to have Roy Beard back. Roy writes a daily blog, and he's a very noted writer. And he's going to be talking about moral equivalence, and that's kind of been the subject, the hot spot. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to pray. So this is This is a broadcast where we're praying and believing God for extraordinary things. Thank you for joining us today. It's going to be a great broadcast. We're praying. Thank you for praying with us today. And we just welcome churches all across America, cities, individuals. And we're praying for revival in America, which includes you, your family, your city, your church, your job, your business. And so we believe that there is hope in this nation. And so we're praying today. And so, Father, we just dedicate this Tuesday broadcast to you right here on BPN Radio. We thank you for the loyal listeners, people that have set themselves in agreement to pray with us. In Jesus' name, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, mouths to speak, and a heart that is bent toward you. And I just want to say that this week is a week that we have dedicated particularly to praying for revival in America, another spiritual awakening, as far as the church goes, as far as our government goes. And so we just believe that there is a turning in our nation, and we certainly believe that God is sending another spiritual awakening. But we are operating on the principle, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he said, I'm going to hear from heaven, forgive their sin, I'm going to heal their land. And so we definitely need a healing in this nation, because we are on a downward fall, and there needs to be a response on what is happening in America, because the war on Christianity is increasing. We need to be on the offense and the defense. With every football team, there's an offense and there's a defense. And so the offense is that we're praying, preaching, prophesying, winning people to Jesus. And on the defense, on the defensive side, we are resisting the moral downfall in our nation, and we are addressing the moral downfall in our nation, the war on Christianity. And we are a nation that has been founded on the Word of God, on biblical principles. That's how it all began. And we cannot stray away from that. And we cannot say, well, we're going to give equal voice to every religion that comes in. And that may include in the future the satanic church. Are we going to give voice to them? Are we going to give liberty to every religion that comes in? And so we cannot be silent. We must address these issues, how painful it may be. And we cannot be the silent majority. There was a man by the name of Jerry Falwell, who was the founder of Liberty University. And in the 1980s, he came out with the Moral Majority. And there was a cry for morality in this nation. And people responded to that. And many of the congressional candidates, the senatorial candidates, responded to that and went to Washington, D.C. as a result of their stance for morality. And so now we have very few politicians that are saying anything about that. I'm not talking about just the Democrats. I'm talking about the Republicans, the Tea Party, whoever it may be, whatever conservative party there is. And so today we need to realize that we are in a moral downfall. We have lost our moral compass. The Bible said there was a group of people in the Bible that did whatever was right in their own eyes. In the book of Judges, they just figured out the way they wanted to live, moral equivalence or equality. And what you believe, what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe. But why don't we believe what the Bible believes? And I just believe today we need to address this, and we need to pray and ask God to forgive us as a nation for our moral downfall. The Bible says in the book of Romans, for the wrath, this is Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, their whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful. Those who practice such things, the Bible said, are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Not only the ones that do those things, but the approvers, the endorsers. And so the Bible says, it is an abomination for a man to lie with a man as with a woman, or a woman to lie with a woman as with a man. Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. The Bible says that because of certain abominations, such as homosexuality, a land will vomit out its inhabitants. In the Old Testament, those who practice these things were removed from the congregation of Israel by execution. We're told in the New Testament, those who practice homosexuality will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul shows homosexuality as a final order of rebellion against God. When people exchange the truth of God for a lie, begin to worship the creature instead of the Creator, they are given up to evil. When values are turned upside down and moral anarchy appears, men burn with lust for other men, women burn for women, and they will receive in their own bodies the punishment by their actions, according to Romans chapter 1. From a biblical standpoint, the rise of homosexuality is a sign that a society is in the last stages of decay. And I've been reading the commentary from Romans chapter 1. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, beginning with verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So there are nine groups of people that the Apostle Paul was talking about that will not inherit the kingdom of God. The revilers, the fornicators, the idolaters, the adulterers, the homosexuals, the sodomites, that's people that use anal sex, thieves, covetous, drunkards, extortioners, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, wow, I know this has got to be pretty tough today, but if there is a problem in our nation, we must identify it. I've got two spiritual sons that are surgeons, and they cannot do surgery, operate on someone, unless they identify the problem. It can't just be said, well, you've got a health problem, and I guess I'll just start anywhere in your body. No, it's got to be identified. And so we must identify the problem in America, and that is that we have a downfall, a moral downfall. We have lost our moral compass, and we must identify the problem. And the problem is that history is repeating itself, that every society goes through a different process of time. But when they leave God out of their lives and they begin to live immoral lives, then we have a nation that finally disintegrates. And here in America, we know the truth. I believe there to him that is given much, much is required. And we as a nation have received the gospel for all of these years. And so over 200 years, we've been a Christian nation, living by biblical principles, not rehearsing, explaining, evaluating things the way that we see them, but we must live according to the way God sees it. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about straining a gnat, swallowing a camel. I'm talking about what God says. And so God plainly talks about adultery. Adultery. He declares that we should not commit adultery. And then he plainly talks about fornication, that's sex before marriage. Then he talks about sodomites, that's anal sex. Then he talks about homosexuality, men with men, women with women. Then he talks about these different areas of moral decay, incest. And then, of course, he talks about bestiality, and that is on the rise in our nation. Men and women having sex with beasts, with animals. And so we are living in perilous days. And who is going to say something? Who is going to declare something? And so today, as a man that's been in ministry now 49 years this summer, I've been married for 53 years, and I'm not a perfect man, but I certainly believe in ministering the gospel. I believe that the priests of God, the ministers of God, need to tell the people the difference between holy and unholy, righteousness and unrighteousness. I believe there needs to be identification of the problem, and I believe that then there needs to be a repentance. What am I calling about today? First of all, I'm calling for the church to repent, for pastors and leaders who will not talk to their congregations about sin and the consequences of sin. And, you know, we have churches today where couples, where men and women are living together. They've never been married, but the pastor, for fear of some type of inordinate response or fear of backlash or loss of position, will not say anything about it. And so we become a silent majority in the nation. And so that's why I'm having Roy Beard on today to talk about moral equivalence, because that seems to be the subject that's going around today. So I'm going to pray now. And I want you to help me pray. And I know that I've been digging deep, because I realize that There needs to be repentance in the church. If we're gonna have a spiritual awakening, if we're gonna have revival in America, there needs to be a repentance. And who's gonna call the people to repentance? The pastor, the shepherd. And if he's just a hireling, he won't do it. If he's afraid that he will lose his position, or afraid of a backlash from people in the congregation, disagreements, he won't do it. He'll be silent. But I believe there's a remnant of men and women, Christian leaders out there, that's going to say, hey, we need to repent. There needs to be a cleansing. There needs to be a cleansing from the podium, from the pulpit to the pew. And the shepherds need to weep between the people and the altar. And we need a revival in America. We need a calling to God. We have lost our way. And the hour is late. The hour is late. And we know that there is a rise of different religions in this nation that wants to conquer, to shut out the voice of Christianity, particularly the name of Jesus. What it's all about, it's about the name of Jesus. Don't say the name of Jesus. And if you pray, don't pray in the name of Jesus. Difficult days. I just say, God, help us. Would you help me pray? Father, I pray. God, I pray for my nation. I pray for America that I love. In almost a half a century, I've been preaching the gospel, calling people to repent, calling people to get saved, calling the church, calling the nation. And for almost 30 years now, I've been a prayer and prophetic voice in this nation, calling the people to pray and to seek the face of God. Forgive us for our immorality, but also forgive us for our carelessness and our prayerlessness. In Jesus' name, we repent. In the name of the Lord, in the name of Jesus. So we're living in dangerous days, living in dangerous times, and we are addressing it, and we're not ignoring it. We're not being critical. We are walking in love. We're not being hateful. We're walking in love on this matter. But we are speaking the truth in love. And the truth is that America needs to get right with God. And first of all, the church needs to get right with God. I'm not saying that I'm not putting everybody under one canopy. I know there are many, many ministers, many churches seeking God. But I'm talking in general to the church in America. If it doesn't apply to you, then you can forego that and just help me pray. But we're living in an age that we've never seen before, and we need to address where we're at, and we need to pray. Here's Godfrey Burton. And then we're going to be back with Roy Beard.
We're living in an age where we're one click away from some of the vilest things on display. We've fallen in a pit, but we struggle to admit that we're caught in a net, the trap we've hit. Oh Lord, we need a revolution now. The good news is a crime. It's a murder. Our unborn children is fine. Oh Lord, we need a revolution now. We're living in a day where we've made sex a game, told the kids it can play just as long as it's safe. Oh Lord, we need a revolution now. Terrible. is enough, is enough. Oh, enough, is enough, is enough, is enough. Oh, enough, 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 is enough, is enough, is enough, is enough, is enough, is enough.
It's good to have you on BPN Radio today on this Tuesday, Roy Beard. And Roy has been a friend of mine for a long time, and he's been on before. And Roy has served in Christian ministry for 45 years, serving as a lead pastor for 25 of those years. And he has traveled nationally, internationally in ministry. He received his educational training, Southwestern Assemblies of God University, studying theology, also Tyler Junior College, University of Texas at Tyler, studying history and psychology. He is a Vietnam veteran and a proud patriot, always honoring the United States military. He's been blessed with three children, a daughter, two sons, five grandchildren. He grew up in rural East Texas on a small country farm. And Roy has three books published, Too Busy with Business to Hear God, Prison of Pain. And there's a poem for that. And he's a committed Christian. And as we said, and he's a true patriot. So, Roy, it's good to have you back on BPN. Just thought I'd just share a few things about your past. And I read your daily blog, and it's literally fantastic. And recently, you wrote about moral equivalence, and we know that we're talking about what our president said at the annual prayer breakfast last week, which some of my friends were in attendance, and they were quite shocked at what he was saying. So talk to us about your blog. I know you wrote a blog in response to that, and where you see us heading is America, so we can pray in just a few moments.
Well, I appreciate being back, and I was stunned at what took place, and I agree with University of St. Louis historian Thomas Madden, who said, in regard to Mr. Obama's comments, he said, they reveal an ignorance of history. He said, I don't think the president knows very much about the Crusades, and he seems to be casting them as an example of distortion of Christianity, trying to compare that to what he sees as a distortion of Islam in the action of ISIS. And that, I think that's exactly right. To me, moral equivalence is a prison. It's a prison psychologically. It's a prison emotionally. It's a prison spiritually, because it tries to justify sin. Dale, I grew up, as you said, in rural East Texas, and we attended a small country church. And I was anything but a choir boy growing up. And I would visit places that I shouldn't have been. And when I would go there, I would see people in the church there, some of them noted leaders in the church there, and I developed a mentality that said, if these people are going to heaven, God cannot send me to hell. And that's moral equivalence. I wouldn't have understood the term at that time, but that's exactly what I was doing. I was using moral equivalency to justify my lifestyle, and I went to Vietnam with that attitude. And thank God he spared me in Vietnam, and I didn't die there, because if I had, I'd gone to hell. And after I came home, I got saved, and I've always tried to make sure that I don't use some unrelated or even related comparison to justify my an inappropriate action on my part or anybody else's part. Just because everybody is, quote, doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And I thought about that, too, that if I were bitten by a rabid dog or fox, I could call it a disgruntled carnivore, but it'd still be, I'd still have be infected with rabies. It wouldn't make any difference. But when the president compares the Crusades, which for the most part, the Crusades took place as a result of the Muslims taking land from the Christians, and the Crusades were designed to take that land back. Were there wrongs? Of course there were, but to compare something hundreds of years ago to what is going on with the Islamic jihadists, it is amazing to me, because most of them adopt the same motto or mantra that the Muslim Brotherhood has, where they say, Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope. That's an amazing attitude. And even one of their leading generals in Iran, a brigadier general, and I could probably not pronounce his name, Mohammad Reza Nahadi, he said that Iranian assets had successfully infiltrated deep into the West from Europe to New York. And another of the Khomeini's camp advisors said, we welcome war. And so the vast majority, I mean, well, the Quran, and unfortunately all of the supposed moderate Muslims out there, and I don't question that there are some, and I'm not trying to lampoon them, but they're being silent for the most part. And many of them will cheer in the streets when ISIS or some of the other group behead someone or something like that. And I'm just shocked. I'm totally stunned that the moral equivalence that the president's using would even approach that. It's amazing to me, because if I use moral equivalence to justify a lifestyle and an action or an inaction that are completely foreign to God's word and God's directive, then it opens the door to deception, and deception is an incredible tyrant. And the more I use moral equivalence in my life, the more I'm open to deception. So I become spiritually entrapped, morally entrapped, and it's amazing to me that this would go on. Not just on and on, but I understand that some reports are that this president, if anyone in his administration, a lower-level person or even a high-level person, says anything disparaging toward Islam, he goes into a tirade. He, mm-hmm. he just is infuriated. Mm-hmm. But he never does that with regard to the Jews or Christians or any other.
Okay. Right. So let me ask you a question. Is our president a Muslim?
Well, I'm... guess I can't really say that he is, but boy, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, acts like a duck, it might be a duck.
And so let me ask you another. Let me ask you another question. Why is it that so many pastors and Christian leaders are remaining silent concerning issues like this?
I think I'm stunned about that as well, because that makes no sense to me. If we, in a great sense, it's trying to be so politically correct that I'm afraid that many of our leaders in the Christian world, or so-called leaders in the Christian world, have become hirelings rather than shepherds.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible indictment, but I'm afraid that's where we're coming to. We can't, I want to tolerate people, but you can't tolerate to the diminishing of God's word. You have to let God's word determine what's right and wrong, not try to fit what I want right and wrong to be to God's word, have God's word fit that. I can't do that. It has to be that we have to stand up. And I've had people tell me, Roy, as a Christian, as a preacher, you can't criticize the president. The Bible commands you not to. I said, well, the Bible commands me to pray for him. It doesn't command me to blindly obey everything he does when it's contrary to the word of God, nor does it tell me to pray for the success of his acts of destruction.
Right.
It tells me to pray for him, and that's right. What I do, pray for him.
Well, we definitely have a war on Christianity today, and I believe that a lot of it, the blame certainly goes back to the pulpit, the podium, where so many men are preaching, but they will not take a stand or a stance on morality or moral issues, and so many ministers, Christian leaders, relate that to legalism. But we know, you and I have both been in the ministry for a long time, and we know that we're not talking about legalism here. We're talking about morality. And we know that American politicians, even the Republican Party, Tea Party, they're not talking about moral issues. And the Bible clearly states that. And we know that there was an awakening of a sort, not a national awakening, but when Jerry Falwell did his Moral Majority, we saw a rise in the spiritual climate in this nation. But we no longer are talking about morality. We do not talk about adultery, or we do not talk about fornication. We will not talk about homosexuality. You know, I was a little bit stunned Sunday night when the man from England won most all of the Grammy Awards, and finally said in response to about winning his fourth Grammy, he said that he recorded this song of the year in response to his gay lover leaving him. And he was so despondent that he wrote this song. And I was amazed at the cheers that went up from the crowd and the acceptance of all of these things. And, you know, I can understand Hollywood, but I do not understand when pastors do not follow this up on Sunday morning by addressing issues that are going on in America, but most of them want to remain neutral. As a result, we are in a moral downfall in America. We have lost our moral compass. And as a result, we're accepting all sorts of things that are being said with no response. And so we have a silent, instead of having the moral majority, we now have the silent majority. If 78% of Americans say they are Christians, why do we not live by the written word, the Bible, that tells us clearly what is right and what is wrong, what is holy, what is unholy? And so we come back to this moral equivalence issue.
Right. Absolutely. We do, because we're trying to justify, and that's a terrible place to be, is if I look at somebody, something going on. For example, I've had people say, well, there's, if you have a death penalty, you can't be against abortion. I said, you have to be kidding me. I'm talking about someone that's been convicted of a capital crime, most of the time, many of the times with eyewitnesses that saw it take place, and all of the evidence supporting it. Are there mistakes? Of course there may be, but I still would support the idea of having that kind of deterrent to crime, or just our action with regard to that kind of crime. To compare that to just monstrously murdering a baby in the womb, That to me is one of the worst of the moral equivalencies type stand. It's just, we're in a place, and I know that from what you said there, and having heard you on the radio and read other things you've written and known you for a long time, we agree that we have a problem, not, I don't think just in America, but to focus on America, because that's where we live and that's where we're citizens. We have a problem, and if the pulpit does not take the lead, we cannot expect the pew to follow, because people will follow leaders. They're not going to, or otherwise there will be a rebellion, and they will cast out that hireling and take some other direction, which is usually winds up problematic anyway when you have war going on within the church. But there is spiritual warfare going on, and if we don't become people of prayer, as Second Chronicles 5 tells, 7 tells us, if we don't become people of prayer, and if we don't begin to intercede, and if we do not take a stand against evil, then we're going to see the church as we know it be literally ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen, but at the same time, I personally believe very strongly that that invisible, true body of Christ is about to rise up, and we're going to see a massive army of God begin to move on the scene, and we're going to see signs and wonders and exploits, and we're going to stand in the face of the devil. Some of us are going to give our lives, and maybe many of us, but that's okay too, because we'll be standing for what's right, standing for God.
Well, I too believe that revival is coming to our nation, another spiritual awakening. It could be in the midst of great persecution against the church, because we know that the voice of the adversary, the voice against what is right in America, is getting louder and louder. And that voice, of course, is demanding on way its own way, trying to diminish any voice that would speak contrary to that. And so we know the rise of homosexuality, not the endorsement of homosexuality. That's what the movement wants. They want the church to endorse, the pastors to endorse. And many pastors are endorsing it by saying absolutely nothing. And you know, I just believe that there is a remnant of people in America that is crying out for revival and other spiritual awakening, and pastors that are only administrators, or those that want to take a middle of the road stance, I believe those men will be in jeopardy of what is going to happen in the future in Christendom, because I believe that Christians, many of them, are looking for somebody to be the leader of their church who will say something. Would you say something? You would address something. And it's like we have so many middle of the road pastors and leaders that will absolutely say nothing. They do not have an opinion. You know, it was like Elijah on Mount Carmel when he challenged them the majority of the people said not a word. They just did not have a response. They do not have an opinion. And so, you know, so many pastors today, because of the different views on eschatology, and we won't get into that, but they won't take a stance on what they believe, whether they believe in pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, the rapture, whatever it may be, and they've kind of followed this pattern by saying, well, I'm just going to let everybody work out their own salvation. So we get back to moral equivalence, and with our president making these shocking statements at the president's prayer breakfast, I was just wondering, is there going to be a response to what he said? Or will, you know, I believe that there that news item, national events help national international events occur during the week, which gives a pastor a tremendous opportunity to respond to that, because the people in their congregation, they've been hearing those reports and they're saying, well, what does my pastor think about that? How is he responding to that? And so,
right. Well, I think some of them are operating out of fear. Some are apathy. It's out of apathy, but a lot of them are out of fear because they've been threatened, intimidated, and they're afraid the IRS is going to come in or the government's going to come in, and there's going to be some kind of repercussion for them. So rather than fighting against that or standing against it like the early church did, I'm reminded of them being in prison, and when Peter told the Sanhedrin, they said, well, you can't preach anymore in this name. He said, well, you decide which I should do. Should I obey God or man? And that's where we are. We've got to decide if we're going to obey God or if we're going to obey man. And you asked a moment ago if the president was a Muslim, and I kind of sidestep that a little bit because I can't say 100% one way or the other. I don't actually know. But if I take a cursory look at who he surrounds himself with and how that he can't seem to find any comfort or any sense of obligation to honor his oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, he downplays the American exceptionalism and American, what the contribution we've made to the world through the years. And he constantly seeks to appease the Muslim world. And then I go back to one of his books to where he said, if the political winds turn sour, I will stand with the Muslims. When the rest of the world of Islam does not necessarily, or most of them do not say they're not Islam. They know they are. Are they a radical part of Islam? Maybe. But when I've read portions of the Quran, I don't like to read any of it, but I do some of it for research occasionally. That is an incredibly violent, hate-filled book, whereas the Bible speaks of love. It always takes the side of love. Islam says, no, we're going to dominate the world. We'll kill everybody that doesn't convert, or we'll make them slaves. That's foreign to the Bible. That's foreign to the God that I know and we serve.
Yeah.
And so if we don't take a stand against evil, how can I not stand against evil? The Bible says if I know to do good and do it not, it's sin. If I don't stand against evil, then by my silence, I'm giving consent, and I can't do that. I cannot do that. I have to stand for what I know the Bible teaches and what I believe. I have to stand for it.
Well, I believe that, Roy, and I know these are critical days in our nation. And we see the very foundation of our nation eroding, and you know, we started out in America as a result of men and women coming here for religious freedom. The Bible was the textbook. Our nation [S2] Right. [S1] Was founded on these principles of the Bible. And for over 100 years, the Bible was the textbook, and the schools, yep. the school was held in the church. We had services on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we had school. And finally, McGuffey's Reader was added. So the Bible and McGuffey's Reader for about 120, 125 years were the only two textbooks. And then, of course, the Ivy League schools were training grounds, Harvard, Yale.
Yes,
and those
were.
Schools were training grounds for preachers. So how far we have fallen, how far we have strayed away. And now we have this unholy mixture of Christianity and Islam and other religions that are being tried to mix in when we are, according to statistics, we are 78% a Christian nation. So, you know, we can see the war, and I just appreciate you coming on because I know that you have some insight. You write a daily blog, which is very good, and I want you to pray for our nation. This is what this is all about, is prayer. And so I want you to pray for our nation in a moment. I know you've been a Christian leader for many years. I do appreciate you serving our nation, serving in Vietnam. You're a Vietnam veteran, and I know that you're very patriotic. And even though I did not serve in the military, I'm very patriotic. And we love America. And this broadcast is praying for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And so, you know, this broadcast today is a wake-up call concerning the condition of our nation, and that pastors and Christian leaders need to respond to what's going on with their church so that we can pray. And so sometimes people say, would you pray for me? I say, well, what is the need? And so this broadcast is not about praying for America. This broadcast is getting America to pray. And so absolutely. If we're going to pray, what do we pray for? What are the needs we're praying for? And so I want you to pray. And after you get through praying, we're going to let the people know how they can view your blog every day. So, Roy Beard, say a prayer.
Father, we come before you and we thank you for what you've given us. Thank you for life. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, lived, died, rose again, ascended, and is coming back for us. And Lord, I pray that you would so touch the heart of Christian leaders throughout America and throughout the world to be stirred from their very foundation to call their people to pray, to speak truth to their people, to bring revelation, to bring understanding, to pull back the veil where people can see. Give them courage and boldness to no longer, if they are now, be timid and afraid. Help them to have a boldness rise up with inside them, that the Holy Spirit would embolden their hearts to be willing, if necessary, to go to the grave for your purposes and your kingdom. Lord, I know that the only hope that we have is not just the political. That's just such a minor part of where the problem is. The problem is that we as believers have not held up our end and interceded before you for our nation, for our leaders, for our people. And Lord, I ask that you would so stir our hearts now that we would not be able to go a day without having a prayer on our lips, a prayer in our heart, a prayer on our mind, and crying out, help us to become intercessors. And I ask you, raise up an army of intercessors to pray for our world. And Lord, in so doing, I know that we'll see a move of God, we'll see an awakening of God, and we'll see souls born into the kingdom that would otherwise be lost. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, thank you, Roy. I appreciate you being on today. Appreciate your prayers. And tell people how they can get your daily blogs. You're an excellent writer, and you're writing about things that that need to be written about, and people, I'm sure, would be enlightened and blessed by your writings. So how can they do that?
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I'm on Facebook as just Roy Beard, and also I have two blogs, actually, in WordPress. One is devoted totally to the spiritual aspect, and the other is more patriotic and that aspect. That's Roy Beard. It's on WordPress, and the other is R Beard. And if people would, I don't mind, if they want to contact me on Facebook, I'd be most happy to respond to them, or in the blogs. If they look at those in WordPress, I'm there. I got to looking just the other day, and I've had that the blog that you're referring to primarily for about 5 years now, been devoted writing to that, and I write what I feel in my heart. I try to research and get factual information, but by and large, I'm just responding to what I sense the Holy Spirit saying to me is the need of the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's all I can do. That's all I want.
Okay. Well, each of us have got to make a deposit in what we know to do here in this present time. So it's Roy Beard, B-E-A-I-R-D, B-E-A-I-R-D. You can actually Google Roy Beard. Thank you for being on, Roy. Appreciate your prayers and appreciate your friendship.
Thank you, and I appreciate you, and keep up the good work, and I know you will.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Blessings.
Well, we appreciate Roy Beard being with us today here on BPN Radio. You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, praying for revival in America. Another spiritual awakening, giving a wake-up call. There is a wake-up call for this nation and a wake-up call for the church. And so we pray today. Thank you for praying with me today. And I appreciate those of you that are listening each day to BPN Radio, because we believe that our prayers are making a difference. We believe a change is coming to the spiritual climate of this nation. A revival in 1,000 cities, and we believe there is hope when we pray, and we are praying. If you have a prayer request, you can go to bpnradio.com. That's bpnradio.com, and you can put your prayer request right there. So thank you for being a part of BPN today. And we just thank you for standing with us in prayer, seeking the face of God. And we're going to sign off with this song by Chris Folsom. He says, who's going to stand with me tonight? Who's going to stand on this bridge? And I need, and we need people that are praying with us and are going to stand with us. And we thank you for standing in prayer today, because as we pray, we know that we are making a difference. Thanks for listening to BPN Radio. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time, anytime. Thanks for praying with me. Chris Folsom saying, who's going to stand? We need to stand. It's nighttime in America. 2 minutes till midnight. Who's going to stand with us? Thank you for being a part of BPN.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.